Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
The children's and consumer advocacy group Fair Play says that even cute and cuddly artificial intelligence toys are not safe for children, and the group has issued an advisory that's been signed by more than 150 organizations and individual experts, such as child psychiatrists and educators. Fair Play says AI toys are generally powered by AI models that already have been shown to harm children and teenagers, with obsessive use, explicit sexual conversations, and encouraging unsafe behaviors. Last week, U.S. Public Interest Research Group, or PIRG, said that some of the four AI toys it tested would talk in depth about sexually explicit topics, would offer advice on where a child could find matches or knives, and the toys have limited to no parental controls. New York City's Grand Central subway station smells, but not like it usually does. Bath & Body Works is pumping a fragrance into the 42nd Street shuttle train platform. Commuters describe the smell as vanilla and fresh pine. Jerome Murray is enjoying it.
It smells better than the normal New York City tunnels that we normally smell here. So, yeah, I appreciate it.
Mari Shallon says it smells like the holidays.
It really felt like Christmas. And I think it would be so nice for the holiday season.
Diffusers are attached to a steel girder over the subway platform and along the walls of a connecting tunnel. Bath & Body Works says it will have sprayed some 20 to 30 pounds of fragrance in the subway by the time the campaign ends at the end of November. I'm Donna Water.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art is debuting an exhibit that celebrates the simple idea that fashion is art. Costume art will aim to make that connection more literal than ever. It'll pair garments with objects from across the museum to show how fashion has long been intertwined with different forms of art. Max Holland is the director of the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Exploring in a way how representations of the body are shaped by garments, and likewise how garments are inspired by and reflective of the body.
He said he hopes the exhibit will take visitors to the New York Museum on a sustainable journey through art history, where they'll see connections throughout.
You will probably afterwards not only look at fashion differently, but you will also look at paintings, drawings, and objects in our collection with a very different lens and sense, and also feel this acuity of fashion.
Costume art opens to the public May 10th, 2026, after the annual Met Gala. I'm Haya Panjwani.
In 2020, Christy Morrell suddenly lost about 5 decades of memories, going back to when he was a young man. That's when his wife Karen noticed that he had changed, had become quieter.
I don't know if right away I noticed he was having these strange little seizures. They were very small.
Christy then had a seizure in front of 5 doctors.
One of the doctors who I've never seen since got up, left the room, made a phone call to my neurologist here and said he does have autoimmune encephalitis.
His immune system was attacking parts of his brain. He was treated and recovered, but his personal memories are missing.
Or why do I remember that, which is of no use to me anymore, and yet I can't remember my son's wedding?
He also wonders,
was I a decent soul? You know, was I a good person? So that's hard.
Today, he's focusing on creating new memories.
Beyond my wildest expectations, that I'm re-entering some real time of fun, joy, happy. I wasn't shooting for that. I just wanted to be alive.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A vintage blue Volkswagen bus became an unlikely symbol of resilience after it survived the deadly Palisades fire in California in January. At first, owner Megan Weinrob thought her 1977 Type 2 microbus named Azul was a goner until AP photographer Mark Terrell took a picture of it.
I come around to the other side, you can see that there's a fair amount of damage. Mostly cosmetic.
I detached from it, and then we got text messages, pictures that it survived. And then that one photo went viral, and we were like, Oh my God.
Volkswagen technician Farlin Robertson says the VW had smoke damage, blistered paint, rust, and a busted window.
I said, well, you know, I'm definitely throwing my hat in the ring to help out here.
And after a lot of work, it was unveiled at the LA Auto Show on Thursday.
Ladies and gentlemen, our door.
Weinrob says she hopes her restored Volkswagen represents hope for people who lost things in the fire. I'm Donna Warder.
Ukraine's leader says his nation is in a tough spot as negotiations continue on a U.S. peace proposal with Russia. Volodymyr Zelensky says Kyiv potentially faces a difficult choice between losing its dignity and losing American support. The plan has many of Russia's long-standing demands, like Ukraine handing over territory while giving Kyiv few security guarantees. Zelensky says he's willing to negotiate calmly, but insists on fair treatment. European Union Foreign Policy Chief Kaya Kallas says Ukraine should get the final say.
Russia has no legal right to whatsoever to any concessions from the country it invaded.
President Trump tells Fox News Radio he wants an answer from Zelensky about the plan by Thanksgiving, but says an extension is possible. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
A historic ocean liner, the SS United States, will become a huge artificial reef off the Florida Panhandle early next year. Okaloosa County announced its final resting place will be about 22 miles southwest of Destin. The top decks will reach 60 feet below the surface, making it accessible to scuba divers. The nearly 1,000-foot vessel still holds a transatlantic speed record from its maiden voyage in 1952. The ship spent most of the year at the Port of Mobile being scoured in preparation for its sinking. Pensacola tourism officials and the Coastal Conservation Association Florida are kicking in a combined $2 million toward the reef project. A conservancy founded by Susan Gibbs, the granddaughter of the ship's naval architect, tried to raise funds to restore it over the years, but the fading ship was evicted from its dock in Philadelphia, and restoration plans had to be abandoned due to the steep cost. Okaloosa County now owns the vessel, and in addition to the reef project, plans to build an onshore museum to preserve its artifacts and promote the ship's rich maritime history. I'm Jennifer King.
Danielle Bolio is a physician associate at Amonoosuc Community Health Services in Franconia, New Hampshire, in the state's White Mountains. Because of Medicaid cuts, the health center will be shutting down.
This is the only primary care location in Franconia. This is kind of an outreach station, and it's with us closing down, there are no other options for patients.
It's a reflection of the financial struggles facing many community and rural health centers across the country. Franconia resident Marsha Luce and her husband Kirk, who's being treated for an aggressive tumor in his face, have relied on the health center.
I wish that for 3 months, these congressmen and congresswomen, all of them, including ones on the Democratic side, could just live the way regular people live.
With Medicaid cuts, more than 700 more hospitals and health centers are at risk of closure. I'm Donna Warder.
A new observation theater at a zoo in northern New Jersey lets visitors see animals get live medical treatments. The Turtleback Zoo this year joined the relatively few U.S. zoos that routinely give the public a view of veterinary care. It's perhaps one of a dozen or fewer of the 250 animal parks accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums.
We are in the treatment room, which is on display to our guests, and we're going to be doing our turkey vulture named Atom.
Kaylee Anderson is a Turtleback Zoo veterinarian.
It's not very common to have a window into a treatment room. More zoos are starting to do it as hospitals are being redone because of the value of the education aspect.
The experience is not only new for the turkey vulture, but also a novelty for many onlookers. That's because few zoos offer a window on veterinary care. Teelan Cahill is a zoo visitor.
I'm going to be a bone surgeon when I grow up, so I'm gonna watch what they're gonna do so I can learn what to do.
Police say a man has been shot and killed after wielding a knife at a St. Louis airport. St. Louis County Police spokesperson Vera Clay said that at about 1 a.m., officers at the St. Louis Lambert International Airport noticed a person in an area where he shouldn't have been and refused to leave. Clay said when officers tried to get him to move, he showed them a knife. Officers used tasers, but the man continued to advance towards them. She said an officer then fired his gun, fatally wounding the man. There were no other injuries.
I'm Haya Panjwani.
Brazil has offered several texts for this year's last day of the UN climate talks. However, what was supposed to be nearly final proposals on key contentious issues has failed to explicitly mention fossil fuels, the cause of global warming. The omission has upset more than two dozen nations, along with advocates for stronger action. Juan Carlos Monterrey,
freeze.
On climate change from Panama, tells the AP, right now we're on the verge of collapse.
Because the text that has been put for negotiation simply is not acceptable. It's honestly quite a joke. It does not mention the phase out of fossil fuels. It does not mention a roadmap to end deforestation. Two of the primary sources of the crisis that we're here to debate and to fix.
Some nations are angry, stating the proposal doesn't meet minimum conditions for a credible outcome. Activists also criticize the weak text and lack of accountability. I'm Charles Deledesma.
A Florida sheriff's deputy has been killed while serving an eviction notice on the state's Atlantic coast. Another deputy and a law enforcement locksmith were also shot. That's according to the Indian River County Sheriff Eric Flowers. The locksmith and the accused shooter are both in critical condition. The deputy who died, Terry Mashkow, was a 25-year veteran of the sheriff's office. Officers were at a home near Vero Beach when the suspect began firing. The other deputy was shot in the shoulder and is recovering. Vero Beach is 80 miles north of West Palm Beach. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Swiss authorities are searching for two robbers who overpowered a security guard at an ancient Rome-themed museum in Lausanne, smashing a display case and making off with dozens of gold coins that had been displayed inside. City police said late on Thursday that the suspects had bought tickets and waited until other visitors had left shortly before closing time before assaulting and restraining the guard, then breaking the display case. The monetary value of the loot was not immediately revealed, but police said the coins had archaeological value. Officials say the Lausanne Museum employee, a 64-year-old Swiss national, was interviewed by investigators and that he was not injured in the incident. I'm Charles Deledesma.
Hey, this is Russell Wilson. This is Joe Montana.
This is Dak Prescott.
Hey, this is Jason Kelce. And you're listening to Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Welcome to On Football with me, Rob Motti. We're in week 12, and the Kansas City Chiefs are only 5-5 facing a must-win game against the 8-2 Indianapolis Colts, who are coming off a bye. That's the game of the week, along with the Buccaneers-Rams in L.A. Not a great schedule after a loaded one last week. Saints linebacker DeMario Davis is our guest. Stay tuned for a special conversation along with some pro picks. Shedeur Sanders finally made his NFL debut with the Cleveland Browns, and he struggled, much to the delight of so many of his haters out there. But Shedeur was really in a difficult situation, almost an impossible spot, facing a Ravens team that had to win. He doesn't take any reps in practice as a backup, started the year as a third-string quarterback, had to come in cold to play for the first time since preseason in August. That's as tough as it gets. I'm not trying to make an excuse. It's just reality. That was a very tough situation. Now, if Shedeur practices all week as the starter and Dylan Gabriel can't play because of a concussion, it's a much better opportunity to judge Shedeur going against an awful Raiders team. DeMario Davis has been a first or second team All-Pro linebacker four times. He's still playing at a high level, and he's a man who does so much work in the community.
DeMario, great to see you, man. Great to talk to you again. It's been a challenging year for the Saints, but you guys are coming off a win. What's it like for you to be part of? You've been part of some teams that are Super Bowl contenders, play deep into the playoffs. Now to be part of a team that's kind of on a rebuild. What's that been like for you this year?
It's been interesting. My main thing is I was just focused on what's in front of me. And I get the opportunity to do that with some great guys, some great coaches. And I can't always control all the circumstances that's going on around you, but you can control how you show up each and every day. A quote that was on my locker when I was in college was, you learn a lot about a person and how they win, but you learn even more about a person and how they lose. And for me, it's about how I show up each and every day. And even though it's been, you know, a tough and challenging year, I think I've been able to keep the right perspective and continue to show up the right way. We were able to come off and build a little momentum with a win this past week. Hopefully we can keep that going. But I've been able to have one of my best seasons to date. And I think it's just because of being able to show up with that right perspective. And I think when you control what you can control, eventually the rest will kind of come into your favor.
Yeah, tell me about that. Because 14 seasons, 36 years old, and you're playing at a high level at a position that's so demanding. How are you able to do it?
I don't think there's like one thing that goes into it. I think there's a series of things that allowed me to continue to do this. I think number one, when I came in, I was playing with a lot of veterans, and I learned at an early age how to take care of my body, how to do the little things consistently. I've been blessed to build a great team around me, and it's year round at this point. What our training, what our recovery looks like every single day. There's a regimen and a process to it. I think I've been blessed to play with a lot of great coaches that have helped me learn and how to think about the game. And so I'm not having to exert so much energy when I'm playing. Even though I'm playing every snap, I'm able to be in a very controlled and organized manner from a mental standpoint. And I think, man, it still requires a lot of just things that you can't, control. What people would call luck, I call blessings. I've been protected to not have sustained anything that has kept me out for extended periods of time. That just allows me to continue to play at a high level. I don't think there's a unique recipe for it. I think somebody could probably do all the things that I'm doing and not get that same results. But I've been very blessed, and I'm very grateful to be where I am today in this game.
Have you thought about the future and what that looks like for you yet?
Not much. I'm kind of on. I always tell people I'm on a 1-year contract with the Lord. When He says I'm done, I'm done. So I just take what's in front of me. And this year, like I said, though it's been challenging from an external standpoint for me, it's been a blessing to be able to show up and still play this game at a high level. And at this point, I'm on pace to have one of my best seasons. So it's just a blessing. And this, I just one at a time.
You do a lot of work in the community. You do a ton of philanthropy, and you've partnered with Stand Together. That's your choice for the My Cause, My Cleats. What kind of attracted you about their mission and what they're doing?
I get so excited when I talk about Stand Together, and this is such a partnership that's so much worthy of praise, because Stand Together is a philanthropic community that empowers changemakers and leaders inside the communities that they're in and help accelerate and scale the impact of the work they're doing. It's this mindset. We have a united mindset that the best solutions come from bottom up, not top down. And I think we live in a society where there's a tendency to wait on top down solutions, but the real way to create change is to go into the communities where the work is already happening and empower those solutions and those leaders and those social entrepreneurs and to help them create change. And that's what they've really done around our work with Devoted Dreamers in the communities that we work with. They've kind of saw our work and helped us scale our impact. And that's what they do all throughout the country. And so with My Cause, My Cleats, I get to highlight a lot of the work that is happening nationally in over 600 communities with over 350 organizations that are doing some really great work in the communities that they live in, and really just have this message to the nation that we're in a time where it can feel like we're very divided. And, this kind of waiting for change and when it's going to come is to really just send the message that change is happening. And it's happening right now, and it's happening in communities around you, and really just calling people into the game and saying, hey, we need you. We need you in the communities that you're in to identify change that can happen. Or if you're already doing that work, we want to know about you, and how can we link arms and help expand it and accelerate that work.
What is your goal? What is your hope as far as your legacy, man, with everything that you're doing? And I know you got a long way to go and a whole lot more work to get done. But what would you like people to, when they hear your name, when they think about DeMario Davis? Obviously, you've been an all-pro linebacker on the field. You've been able to sustain success for over a decade and a half. But overall, when your legacy, how would you like to be viewed?
I would love to be viewed as a person that has motivated somebody to feel like they can change the world. That somebody looked at me and say, man, because of him, I felt like I could change the world. Because I watched him and I heard him, and I felt like I could do the same thing. That's what I would want to motivate, because that's all I want is, hey, just get in the game. We need you. It's somebody that's around you that you're going to make smile, that you can bring some kindness to, that you can help, that I can't help. And just because you feel that way, that you can do something, you will.
It's time to pick more winners. The four-pack is 32-11-1 straight up, 28-15-1 against the spread. Another winning week last week. For my best bet, I'm going against the New York Giants again. Sorry, Jameis. The 2-9 Giants at Detroit. The Lions are 6-4. They're 10.5-point favorites. The Giants' biggest highlight of the week will probably be Cam Scataboo and some of his teammates getting into it on WWE's Monday Night Raw. I don't know what Cam was doing out there, fresh off surgery, a boot on his ankle, and shoving and pushing and all that stuff. Come on, man. The Lions need to get back on track, though, after their offense was terrible in Philly. Jared Goff struggled against the Eagles. Dan Campbell was aggressive as usual. This time it bit him. He was 0 for 5 going for it on fourth down. But the Lions' defense stood out. They held Philly to 16 points. They stopped the tush push 5 times. 2 were negated by penalty. 3 held up. They'll be back home and back to winning. Lions 33-17. For my upset special, I'm looking at Kirk Cousins, the 3-7 Falcons, on the road against the Saints, who are 2-8. New Orleans is 1.5-point favorites coming off a bye. Cousins is returning to the starting lineup with Michael Penix out. The Falcons are going nowhere at this point. It's been a disappointing season. Raheem Morris is on the hot seat. All they have to do is give the ball to Bijan Robinson. That's the best game plan. The Saints are rested. They're looking for a second straight win behind rookie quarterback Tyler Shuck. Atlanta had the number one pass defense in the NFL before Bryce Young threw for 448 against them. They'll bounce back. Falcons 22-20. Last two games have big point spreads. Seattle 7-3 at Tennessee, 1-9 Titans. The Seahawks are 13-point favorites. Big game, Sam Darnold showed up against the Rams, threw 4 interceptions, yet the Seahawks still had a chance to win the game, and Darnold drove them in position for a game-winning 61-yard field goal that was missed. Their defense was stellar against LA. Cam Ward and the Titans have the worst offense in the NFL, and they have no chance against Seattle. Seahawks 27-6. Lastly, the New York Jets are 2-8 at Baltimore. The Ravens are back at 500 at 5-5. They're 14-point favorites. They've won 4 in a row. Tyrod Taylor gets an opportunity for the Jets, who are already looking ahead to the draft after stockpiling all of those draft picks. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens have not been altogether yet and impressive. They're just one game behind the Steelers, but they had a rally to come back against the Browns. They can't look past the Jets, especially after last week's performance. I don't think they will. Ravens 34-10. That's it for this week. Thank you to DeMario Davis. Thank you for listening to On Football. And thanks to Haya Pinjwani and Guillermo Gonzalez for producing this episode. Please check out apnews.com for the full pro picks, On Football analysis, and more NFL news.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.